Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Malachim Aleph, and we are on Zoom. Whatever it is, unfortunately, we're not in person. But what are you going to do? So you see Kim Kaylee in my background here. That's where we are. That's not a real background. Don't worry, I'm in my bungalow, but that's a virtual background. Okay, so we're learning Perek Ches of Malachim Aleph, and Mirza Hashem tonight. I would like to finish the perek. We did the first two-thirds of the perek or so. And tonight I'd like to finish the perek, and we're up to Pasuk Mem Aleph. We're up to Pasuk Mem Aleph. And essentially in this perek, Shlomo finishes, he begins the perek by bringing the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll talk about that tonight. Actually, it's an interesting gemara that we did not mention then, which Mirtz Hashem will mention tonight. And the first part of the perek, we talked about essentially, or I should say the first, third is the first two thirds. We talked about Shlomo's tefillah. We're going to continue his tefillah tonight. And there's a very interesting part of the tefillah, which talks about the relationship of the Beis HaMikdash. After all, that's what we are dedicating right now. The Beis HaMikdash talks about the relationship of the Beis HaMikdash with the non-Jews of the world. Obviously, until now, Shlomo's been talking about the Jewish people, Bnei Yisrael, and davening that Hashem should accept their tefillos whenever things go wrong. But now he's going to introduce the interesting relationship between the non-Jews and the Beis HaMikdash as well. So we're up to Pasuk Mem Aleph, I believe. And the Pasuk tells us, the Navi tells us, V'gam el hanochri asher lo me'amcha Yisrael, who? And so too, the Nochri, the non-Jew, the foreigner, who is not from the Jewish people, uva me'eretz rechoka leman shemecha, and he comes from a faraway land, right? He comes to the Beis HaMikdash, leman shemecha, for the sake of your name. He's coming for, he's coming to daven, he's coming to interact with Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? And we'll talk about that in a second, but one very interesting point, and this is from the Mishpitzos Zahav. So he says that when the Pasuk says, Uva me'eretz rechoka, that he comes from a faraway land, so says the Mishpitzos Zahav, that a non-Jew is always me'eretz rechoka. Even if physically the land is close by, even though physically the land, he might come from a land that's very close to Eretz Yisrael, maybe he even lives in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter. It's still considered a me'eretz rechoka because the Eretz Rechoka here doesn't just mean a physically far away land, but means a spiritually far away place. So this is the non-Jews are spiritually far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they are always May Eretz Rechoka, as opposed to the Jewish people who are always considered Kerovim, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Va'eschanan, Ki mi goy gadol, this week's Parsha, Ki mi goy gadol Ashelo Elokim, Kerovim Elov, right? Which is a great nation, Bnei Yisrael, whose God is close. Kadosh Baruch Hu is close to us. Kashem Elokeinu, Bechol Koreinu Elov. Anytime we call him, he's close to us. So this is just one interesting distinction, and we'll see a few more distinctions between the Jewish people and the Umos HaOlam that's highlighted by the Pasuk here, Me'eretz Rechoka. Okay, continuing to Pasuk Membeis. Excuse me.
Yeah, let's go to the bathroom.
Okay. Okay. Pasuk Membeis. The Pasuk says, Ki yishmeun es shimcha hagadol ves yadcha hachazaka uzroacha hanetuya. So when they hear about your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm, uva vehispalel el habayis hazeh, and he will come, this non-Jew, right? Still talking about the non-Jew will come and will daven in this house. He'll pray in this house, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. So when he comes, very interesting. So another contrast here, Mishmitzel Zahab quotes the Choze David. I never heard of the Choze David, but he writes that the Choze David is the same author as the Eshel Avraham of Buchach that's in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. That's a famous commentary in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. The Eshel Avram of Buchach. So it's the same author as the Choze David. So the Choze David writes that there's a distinction here because when it comes to the non-Jews, when it comes to the Umos Ha'olam, the Nachri, what does it say? Uvavi hispal el abayis hazeh. He has to come and daven in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Meaning that their tfilos, if they want their tfilos answered, they have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. However, when it comes to Bnei Yisrael, it was very clear in the earlier psukim that it's not just in the Beis HaMikdash, right? It's wherever they daven. Wherever they daven, we know, we said that tfilos are through the Beis HaMikdash, you know, as we'll talk about a little bit more, but wherever they daven, it's going to be fun. Wherever they daven, it's going to be, the tfilos will be accepted. And therefore we see another contrast here that the goyim have to be specifically in the Beis HaMikdash. That's where Hashem accepts their tfilos, whereas Bnei Yisrael is even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Wherever they are, that's where Hashem accepts their tfilos. Now,
are there any limitations to in halacha regarding goyim davening in the Beis HaMikdash? Were there any limitations for goyim having
I don't know. I mean, we know that non-Jews were allowed to come and pray. They were allowed to come and offer karbanos even. Were they allowed there all the times? Were they allowed there? Were they allowed there at all times? I'm not sure if there were any limitations. There might have been. Okay. Now, it's also interesting that, what's the difference? Why is it that the guy has to be in the Beis HaMikdash in order for his tefillos to be answered, but a yid could be even outside of the Beis HaMikdash? So that the Chos of David and the Mishpat Zav answer based on the next pasuk. Very interesting. Another distinction in the next pasuk. Let's take a look at pasuk Mem Gimel. Ata tishma hashamayim mechon shivtecha.
Go.
Ata tishma hashamayim mechon shivtecha. Okay. So you, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, will hear from the shamayim, the place where you're dwelling. V'asisa kechol asher yikra elecha hanachri, and you will do. Everything that the Nachri is calling to you to do. Leman Yedun kol Ame Haaretz Es Shimcha, I'm sorry, that all the nations of the world will know your name. Leyira Oscha Ke'amcha Yisrael, they will fear you like the Jewish people. Veladas Ki Shimcha Nikra Al Abayis Hazeh Asher Bonisi, and they will know that your name is called upon this house that I have built. Now, very interesting distinction here that Rashi, based on the Midrashim, points out. So Rashi says, if you look back at Pasuk Lamed Tes, Pasuk Lamed Tes was talking, this was before he introduced the Goyim, he was talking here about Bnei Yisrael. And what did he say? Pasuk Lamed Tes said that Hashem, you'll hear the tefillos, v'salachta v'yasisa, v'nasata lo'ish kechol derachav asher teida es levavo. And you will listen to the people's tfilos, and you will do based on their deeds. Kechol derachav, asher teidas levavo, and even based on the secret things that only you know in their heart. That's how you're going to fulfill their tfilos. Ki ato yadata levadcha es levav kol bnei ha'adam. You know, you alone know everything that's in people's hearts. So fascinating, says Rashi, that when it comes to the Jewish people, Hashem will answer their tfilos, but based on their deeds, based on their madrega, based on where they're holding, as opposed to the non-Jews, as opposed to the goyim. It doesn't say that. The pasuk says in Mem Gimel, "Ata tishma ve'asisa kechol asher yikra elecha hanachri." You'll listen to all the tefillos, all the prayers of the non-Jew. And this is a very strange thing. Why is it the Jews, almost Bnei Yisrael, were judged more severely? Hashem is more strict. He doesn't answer us if we don't deserve it. He only answers our tefillos if we deserve it. The non-Jews, whatever they say, whatever they ask for, whatever they pray for, Hashem, give it to them. So Rashi says, what's the pshat? So based on the Midrashim, Rashi answers that very simply, Bnei Yisrael, if we ask for something from Hashem and Hashem does not give it to us, Hashem says no. So what's our reaction? A real sincere Jew, a believer, what's our reaction? We don't kick and scream. We don't get angry. We recognize that if Hashem did not answer our tefillos, or if Hashem answered and he said no, that's the correct way of saying it. Hashem always answers, just sometimes he says no. If Hashem said no to our tefillos, that's because of us. That's because of our chatoim. That's because of our sins. So we have to do better. We have to do tshuva. That's our reaction to Hashem saying no to our tefillos. But the non-Jews, the Goyim, the Umos HaOlam, if they pray in the Beis HaMikdash and they ask for something and Hashem doesn't give it, what's their reaction going to be? Ah, just like the Jews say, our idols are not real, their God is also not real. Look, we prayed in the holiest temple, we asked for something, and he's gone, he's absent. He's not unresponsive. So the reaction of the Goyim will be completely different than the reaction of the Bnei Yisrael. So Bnei Yisrael, Hashem answers our tefillos according to our deeds, according to our madrega, according to where we're holding. But the Umos HaOlam Hashem, Shlomo HaMelech Davins, Hashem answered the tefillos, whatever they ask, forgive them. Whatever they ask, forgive them. Why? L'man yedun kolam ha'aretz es shemecha. So that they should recognize you. Because if not, if you say no, they're not going to recognize you. They're going to deny your existence. They're going to say you don't exist, just like their gods don't exist. And therefore, based on this is how the Chos of David explains the distinction in the previous pasuk also. That's why, by the Umos HaOlam, it's only in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because only there will they have this reaction. If they are standing on the street and the guy davens to Hashem and Hashem says no or doesn't give him what he wants, okay, so he's not going to be so bothered. But if he's in the Holy Temple and then he prays and Hashem says no, so then that already he's not that. Then he's going to have that adverse reaction. He's going to say, "How could it be? Their God must not be legitimate." So that's why Shlomo Melech davens, when the goy davens in the Beis HaMikdash, then answer all of their tefillos. The Jew, wherever he is, you'll answer him based on his deeds, based on his madrega, wherever he is. But the goy specifically when he's in the Beis HaMikdash, because if not, he's going to have a negative reaction. Now Rashi, interestingly, in Parshas Toldos, he explains that Shlomo HaMelech didn't make this up out of thin air. Shlomo HaMelech learned this from Yitzchak Avinu, because when Yitzchak Avinu gave the bracha to Yaakov, and he gave a bracha to Esav, so the brachos were different. When it comes to Yaakov, what bracha does he give him? V'yiten l'chaha Elohim, mitala shemayim mishmenei ha'aretz v'avdogam asirosh. That's Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Chav Ches. And right there on that pasuk, Rashi says, it uses the word, Yitzchak uses the name Elohim, right? Why Elohim? Elohim is din. Elohim is din, judgment. Im ro'oy l'cha, yiten l'cha. If you deserve it, he'll give it to you. Di'im lav, lo yiten l'cha. And if not, he won't give it. But when it comes to Esav, what does he say? Mishmanei ha'aretz yihyeh moshavecha. I'll give you everything. I'll give you all the fat of the land. Whether he's a tzaddik, whether he's a rasha, it doesn't matter. So meaning that when Yitzchak Avinu gave the brachos to Yaakov and Esav, they were different. When he gave the bracha to Yaakov, he did it with Elohim. Only if Yaakov deserves it, then he's going to get the bracha. If he doesn't deserve it, he won't. But when it comes to Esav, he's going to give him the bracha no matter what. No matter what. Right? Why? Because Yaakov is a Baal Emuna, Rashi says. And therefore, if Hashem doesn't give it to him, Matzdik Lo V'Sadin, he'll do Tzidek Hadin. Hashem is still righteous. It's okay. It must be my problem. But a Nachri, says Rashi, is Mechusar Emuna. A Nachri doesn't believe. Esav doesn't believe. And therefore, he davens, give Esav everything he asks for. Because if not, he's going to kick, he's going to scream, he's not going to believe. And that he says, and Rashi in Toldo says, that's where Shlomo learned it from. Umimenu lomad Shlomo, kishe'asa habayis v'sider tfiloso. That's how Shlomo learned. When he built the Beis HaMikdash and he established the tefillah, that's where he learned it from, and that's what he did. Okay, just give me, sorry, give me 1 second. John, hold on, give me 1 second, please. Sorry. Just my, I need to tend to my daughter for a moment.
Okay,
John. Okay, yeah.
But we wouldn't want to go to church. Why would a goy want to go to the temple?
Because he recognizes that Hashem is true, and we're the true religion. That's why, obviously, a guy, you know, only a guy who recognizes that Judaism is correct, you know, would want to come. You're right. If the guy thinks that Judaism is fake, he's not going to want it. What does he need to come for? Okay, but again, you know, there are guys who even today recognize that Judaism is correct, and certainly in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, there were even more Goyim that recognized that Judaism was correct. Okay. Isn't there a halacha that we can't daven in front of a goy? Naomi's asking on the chat. I'm not familiar. There might be such a halacha. I'm not familiar with it. I don't know. If you find the source, let me know. I've never heard of that. We daven in front of goyim sometimes, right? You're in the airport. You have to daven shacharis. There's a lot of goyim around. You got to do what you got to do. Okay. Now, just picking up on that, on this theme, that when it comes to the Jewish people, even if Hashem says no, you know, we understand. Okay, it's because we don't deserve it, and we'll do tshuva and we'll try to do better. Whereas the goyim don't have that reaction necessarily. So the Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah, in Parshas Dvarim, last week's Parsha, so says Eile Hadvarim. The Medrash says, "Al tochach leitz pen yisna eka," that you're not supposed to give musar, you're not supposed to give tochach, a rebuke, to a cynic. Why? Because if you do, he's going to hate you. He won't take it well. Says the Medrash, "Elu umos ha'olam." That is referring to the nations of the world. She'ein mekablin tochachos. They're not going to accept your rebuke. You can tell them from today until tomorrow that they're doing something wrong. They're going to ignore you. They're not going to accept your rebuke. And it brings a proof from Eov. There was no greater righteous Gentile than Eov. And even Eov did not accept the rebuke of his friends when they gave him rebuke. So it's the same. This is the same idea, right? Hashem says no to them. They're not going to listen. They're going to deny Hashem's existence. Hashem says no to a Jew. He'll understand. It's because of his sins and his bad deeds, and he has to do tshuva. Now, there's another fascinating medrash based on this, which also says, and this is a medrash in Parshas Bamidbar. The medrash says that we're talking about non-Jews coming to the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ilu hayu umos ha'olam yodin. If the nations of the world would be aware, mahi hamikdash yafeh lahem, how great the Beis HaMikdash was for them, kastorios hayu makifin oso, they would surround the Beis HaMikdash with with like a fortress, kedei l'shomro, in order to guard it. The goyim would surround the Beis HaMikdash and protect it. Why? Shehaya yafeh lahem yosem yishal Yisrael. Because the Beis HaMikdash was even better for them than it was for the Jews, as we see in our pasuk, our psukim here. Shekein Shlomo see their tefila, because Shlomo davened that for the non-Jews, Hashem should accept their tefilos, whatever they davened for. As opposed to the Jews, it was much more limited. So if the Goyim only knew how great the Beis HaMikdash was for them, that their tefillos would be accepted even on an even greater scale than the Jewish people, they would have protected the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, we're almost at Tisha B'Av. We're mourning the fact that the Goyim not only did they not protect the Beis HaMikdash, but they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, right? But had they only known, says the Medrash, they would have protected it. Unbelievable. Now, the Mishpat Zav also here quotes the Be'er Moshe, who says that there's another contrast between this pasuk and pasuk Lamites that we had earlier. In this pasuk, it says Ata Tishma. In pasuk Lamites, it says Ve'ata Tishma. Ve'ata Tishma with a vav. What's the difference between Ata Tishma without a vav in our pasuk and Ve'ata Tishma with a vav in pasuk Lamites? What's the difference? So says the Be'er Moshe. says the Be'er Moshe, and when it comes to the non-Jews, there's a vav. The vav means and, right? It's a vav. It's adding something. Why? Because I'm sorry, just the opposite. Sorry. Here by the non-Jews it says ata without a vav. By Bnei Yisrael and Mamites it says ve'ata with a vav. Because when it comes to the Jewish people, there's not just one intention. When they dive into Hashem. When we dive into Hashem, we have two goals. One goal is we want Hashem to answer our tefillos. So we ask for parnasa, we ask for refuah. We want Hashem to answer our tefillos. Then our second goal is we want to be close to Hashem. When it comes to the goyim, they only have one goal. They're not interested in closeness to Hashem. They're not interested in a relationship with Hashem. They want their tefillos answered. They want their prayers answered. That's why they're davening. That's why by them it says, Ata, one goal. Tishma, answer their tfilos. But when it comes to the Jewish people, ve'ata tishma. In addition to the goal of just being close to Hashem, also we want our tfilos answered. But really this goal of being close to Hashem is also such an important part of our tefillah. We know the Ramban says that even though the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam says tefillah is midoraisa, davening is midoraisa once a day. The Ramban says no, tefillah is only midorabanan. But the Ramban agrees that if it's an eis tzara, if it's a time of distress, the Ramban says even in that case, the Ramban says then tefillah would be midoraisa. So that what does that show you? That shows you that it's not just, it's about when we're in distress, we cry out to Hashem, we want to get close to Him. Of course, we want our tefillos to be answered, but we want to be close to Hashem also. In fact, the Kadmonim say that one of the reasons why Hashem brings tzaros upon us, one of the reasons, is to bring us closer to Hashem. Because when we have tzaros, very often we turn to Hashem, to daven, and we get closer to Hashem. In fact, he brings a story, the Mishpat Zav, of Rav Shmuel of Slonim. He told the story that there was a certain yid in his community who lost a lot of money. He invested in a business, and the business went sour, and he lost a lot of money in this deal. He was broke and broken, financially broke, you know, emotionally broken, and he went to shul. He opens up the Aron, and he starts crying out to daven to Hashem. But he was so overcome. You know, being in shul and opening up the Aron, he was so overcome by a recognition of how great Hashem was, how lowly he was, that he forgot about his tzara. He was so overtaken by this connection to Hashem, he forgot about his tzara. So that was the story that Rav Shmuel of Salant told his Talmidim. The Talmidim said, "Nu Rebbe, what happened in the end with the business?" So Rav Shmuel looked at them and he said, "This yid, he got distracted and he didn't even think about his tzara anymore. You guys, that's all you could think about? What happened in the end with this business? You know, you're too focused on the details." A lot of times, you know, when, especially in school, when you tell a story, you know, for some sort of an impact, so often the boys, you know, jump to these kind of details. Well, what happened in the end? That's not the point. You missed the point. Right? The point is to be inspired by the story, not to worry about all the details, how they panned out. Okay. Pasuk Mem Dalet. Ki yetze amcha lamilchama. Okay, now we're shifting back to the Jewish people, to Bnei Yisrael. When the Jewish people go out to war. Now, the Mishpat Zosav points out here that we're still talking about the Bnei Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael. They're doing the Ratzon Hashem. They have the Zchus. They're doing well. These enemies are coming to attack them. We're going out to fight the enemies. Baderech Asher Tishlochem, whatever way that Hashem sends us out to fight the enemies. V'yispallu el Hashem derech ha'ir asher bachartu bo v'habayis asher bonisi lishmecha. And they're going to daven to Hashem. They're not in Yerushalayim. They may not even be in Eretz Yisrael. They're out fighting their enemies, right? Imagine, Chayalei Tzahal. They go out to fight the enemies. They might be in Gaza. Who knows where they might be? Okay, but they're davening. They might be in a plane flying over Iran or Syria, right? But they're davening. They're davening to Hashem. And how do they daven? And they daven, derech ha'ir asher bachartu bo. Their tfilos go through Yerushalayim. When we daven, wherever we are, we could be in Camp Cayley in Wurzburg, New York. We could be in Woodmere. We could be in Florida, wherever we are. When we daven, our tfilos go through Yerushalayim. That's the conduit for our tfilos to get to the Ribbono Shel Olam through Yerushalayim. And in fact, the Mishpat Zosav says that, why does it say Derech Ha'ir and also V'Habayis? Just say the Beis HaMikdash. We know the Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim. Why does it focus on the ear and the bias? So he says, because there are two different aspects to davening towards Yerushalayim. One is that you're supposed to physically face Yerushalayim. So he says, that's Derech Ha'ir. We physically face Yerushalayim, that's Derech Ha'ir. But in addition to that, we're also supposed to think like we're in Yerushalayim. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Simin Sadi Dalet Sifkatan Gimel, Yechavim Libo, Afal Pisha Yev Shalach Seponov Negdam. He's talking about a case where a person, let's say, cannot face Yerushalayim. Let's say you're traveling and you can't face Yerushalayim, but you don't know where Yerushalayim is, whatever the case is. Focus in your mind. Sheyachshov Belibo V'Rayono Ki'ilu Hu Omed B'Mikdash Asher B'Yerushalayim B'Makom Kodesh HaKadoshim. Think about it as though I'm standing in the Kodesh Kadoshim. I'm standing in the Beis HaMikdash when I daven. So there's two different aspects. There's the physical, facing of Yerushalayim that we do when we daven. And then there's the mental that we're supposed to picture ourselves. Certainly if we can't face Yerushalayim, but even if we can face Yerushalayim, we're supposed to picture ourselves like we are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes the Baal Shem Tov, who used to say that a person is defined by his thoughts. Wherever you think you are, that's where you are. That's where you are. So right now I'm thinking like I'm in Woodmere with you. I'm in Woodmere with you. Even if I'm in Camp Cayley, I'm really in Woodmere. But wherever you think you are, that's where you are. So we could be davening wherever we are. But if we're imagining, if we're thinking, we're davening, like we're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we could be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now we have to have Kavanah. We have to think about it. Unfortunately, sometimes we're davening and our minds are in outer space or in the stock market or in the baseball game or wherever our minds are. So we have to try to focus that our mind should be more in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and less on the Chol or Chol Shebecholim, the places where our minds usually travel during davening. Okay, Pasuk Mem Hey, V'shamata HaShamayim Es Tfilosam V'es Tchinosam V'asisam Mishpatam, that you should listen from Shamayim to their Tfilos and to their Tchinos, different types of davening, different types of prayers, supplications and prayers, and you should do Mishpatam, meaning that Bnei Yisrael, if they deserve it, and if they deserve it, you'll listen to them and you'll help them defeat their enemies. Pasuk Mem Vav, Ki Yechetu Loch. However, if they sin, if Bnei Yisrael sin against you, and now Shlomo Melech very interestingly puts in parenthetically, Ki Ein Adam Asher Lo Yechta. There's no human being that's free of sin. Right? Shlomo is saying, don't worry so much. You know, even if you sin, it's okay. There's no human being that's free of sin. Everybody sins once in a while. So if you do, if you find yourself that you sinned, the anafta bum, the unasatam lifnei oyev, and now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you let the enemies attack them. Not like the previous two psukim ago, where the enemies attacked because they did the wrong thing. Here, the enemies are attacking. They're being sent by Hashem as a punishment for the chatoim of Bnei Yisrael. Unasatam lifnei oyev, and you place Bnei Yisrael in front of the enemies. V'shavum shoveihem el eretz ha'oyev. And now the enemies take Jews captive, and they take them back to their lands. El eretz ha'oyev rechoka okirova. Whether that land is far away, whether it's close, it doesn't make a difference. Pasuk mem zayin. Veheshivu es livam ba'aretz asher nishvu sham. Bnei Yisrael, once they get to that land, once they've been captured, and they get to that land, they'll do tshuva. V'heshivu eslibam, elibam. They'll do tshuva. V'shavu v'hischananu eilecha be'eretz shoveihem lemor. And they'll do tshuva. And they'll plead with Hashem in the land of their captivity, saying to Hashem, chatanu v'hevinu rashanu. We were wicked. We did terrible things. We sinned. Says the Malbim, there are three levels of tshuva that the psukim here, Mem Zayin and Mem Ches, talk about. Number one, v'heshivu elibam. Right? As soon as we get to that land, we're going to do tshuva. We don't want to be here. Number two, but once we settle there a little bit more permanently, unfortunately, v'shavu v'hischananu eilecha, we'll do another tshuva. And this one is even with pleading, v'hischananu, pleading with Hashem. That's a greater level of tshuva. And then finally, pasuk memches, v'shavu eilecha b'chol levavam u'b'chol nafsham be'eretz oyveihem asher shavu osam. They're going to do a third level of tshuva, the greatest level of tshuva, wholeheartedly. Okay? And that's because of all of the tzoros that they're experiencing in this foreign land. And once again, even their tfilos from the faraway land, in their captivity, right, in the land of the enemies, will travel once again through Yerushalayim, through the Beis Hamikdash that I built. Excuse me. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, picking up. Pasuk Mem Tes, V'shamata HaShamayim V'chon Shivtecha Es Tfilosam V'es Tchinosam V'asisa Mishpatam. And once again, you're going to listen to them from Shamayim. Almost an identical Pasuk. Mem Tes is almost identical to Pasuk Mem Hey that we had. because again, Memhei was talking about the first time the enemies attack. Memtes now is talking about the second time the enemies attack, but it shows you that for whatever the reasons might be that the enemies attack, whether they're doing something wrong, whether they're being sent by Hashem as a punishment to us, either way, Hashem will listen to us the same way. As long as we do tshuva, Hashem will listen to us in the same way. Pasuk Nun, Salachtel Yamcha Asher Chatulach Ulechol Pishem Asher Pashuvach. You will forgive the nation, Bnei Yisrael, that sinned before you, all of the different types of sins. Unesatam Lerachamim Lifnei Shoveihem V'richamum. And you will enable their captors, their enemies, to have rachamim. Now, what's the rachamim here? So I saw the art school quotes the Ralbag and the Radak. The Ralbag says that the rachamim is that the captors should have mercy on them, right? The captors should have mercy on them. And the Radak says, no, that the captors will have mercy, not that their cruelty will turn to mercy, but rather that they'll have mercy, that they'll allow Bnei Yisrael to return to Eretz Yisrael in a time of galus, and go back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, just like Koresh allowed the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So too, in a time of Golus, of exile, when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore, the Goyim will have, Shlomo HaMelech is davening, the Goyim will have mercy on us and allow us to go back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Nun Aleph Ki Amacha Menachaloscha Heim Asher Hotzeisa Mimitzrayim Mitoch Kur HaBarzel. This is your nation. This is your nachala. This is your inheritance that you took out of Mitzrayim from the Kur HaBarzel. The Kur HaBarzel, Rashi says, refers to a pot that they used to purify gold, right? It's the purification pot. There's some kind of English word for it. I forgot, but and this shows us that the enslavement of Mitzrayim purified the Jewish people, just like this Kur HaBarzel. This pot purifies the gold. It removes all the impurities from the gold. So too, the Mitzrayim, our experience as Avodim in Mitzrayim, removed all of our impurities and allowed us to become Avodim to Hashem. By the way, this pasuk, this is in Shlomo Melech's tefillah. Shlomo Melech did not make up this term. Where did he get it from? Another pasuk in this week's parsha, right? We're brimming with psukim in this week's parsha. In Parshas Vayeschanan, the Torah tells us the Eschem pasuk Perek Dalet pasuk Chaf. Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim from the Kur HaBarzel. And also uses the term of Nachla, which appears in our Pasuk as well. So Shlomo HaMelech is basing this Pasuk, this Tefillah, on this Pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan. Now, the Kli Yakar explains, this art school quotes also, that just like when it came to Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim even though we did not deserve it, so too, Shlomo HaMelech is davening that here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from these goyim, even if we don't deserve it, even if we did sin. And that's why they came to attack us and to take us into captivity. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us. The Malbim also says that since he took us out of Mitzrayim, we're now his nation. So now he is quote-unquote responsible. It's almost like he's responsible to help us and to make sure that we don't become enslaved once again. Okay. Pasuk Nun Beis, Lios Einecha Pesuchos El Tchinas Abducha. Your eyes, Hashem, should be open to the supplications of your servant, Yal Tchinas Amcha Yisrael, and to the supplications of your nation, Bnei Yisrael, Lishmoa Aleim Chol Korah Melecha, to listen to them in any time that they call you. And the art school here also mentions that here, Shlomo Melech mentions both Tefillah of the Yachid, Tchinas Abducha, that's like his own Tefillah, as well as the tefillah of the tzibor, Tchinas Amcha Yisrael. And we know that the tefillah of the tzibor has special power. The Rabbah Menilchos Tshuva tells us that the sincere tefillah of the tzibor is answered immediately. So he quotes here the Rinas Yitzchak. The Rinas Yitzchak says that Shlomo Melech is davening, that in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem should answer the tefillos of a yachid just like the tefillos of a tzibor. Just like the tefillos of a tzibor have extra power, have extra koach, so too in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem should answer the tefillos of a yachid. Now, unfortunately, today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have this tefillah of Shlomo. So therefore, this is one of the reasons why we should always try to daven with a minyan whenever we can, because the tefillos of a minyan are much more powerful and Hashem answers them much more quickly. Pasuk Nun Gimel, Ki ato hivdaltom l'chol l'nachala mikolami ha'aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you separated Bnei Yisrael as a nachala. Again, the same term that's used in Pasuk Nun Aleph, ki amcha v'nachalascha. You separated them as a nachala, as an inheritance, mikolame ha'aretz, from all the nations of the world. Kasher dibarta b'yad Moshe avdach avdecha, just like you said, just like you promised to Moshe. Potziacha esavosinu mimitzrayim Hashem Elokim. When I took you out of Mitzrayim, that's when Hashem made us into his nachala. The article here quotes Rav Gifter Zatzal, who explains that the nachala means inheritance, but we know there's another word for inheritance as well, which is Yerusha. What's the difference between nachala and Yerusha? So he says Yerusha is an inheritance, but it's an inheritance that I can do whatever I want with it. I can sell it, I can toss it, I can throw it in the garbage. You know, sometimes you get an old lamp from your grandma Bessie, you know, it's a nice inheritance, nice Yerusha, but, you know, it doesn't fit with the decor in your home. So you take it, you know, you give it a little kiss, and then you toss it in the trash because it's not, you know, it's not useful for you. But says Rav Gifter, a nachala is a heritage. That's something that is given to the people. It's national. It's something that's given to the people as a whole, and that must be preserved. So it's not just that Hashem made us his Yerusha, Hashem made us his nachala. And that's a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat us like a nachala and always preserve us, always keep us safe. Now, the article also mentions that although Shlomo Melech's tefillah ends here, and in the last few minutes we'll conclude the perek with the last topic of what Shlomo Melech does, but the article points out, if you look in Divrei Hayomim, Beis, Perek Vav, Psukim Mem Aleph Mem Beis, there's actually a little bit of an addition that does not appear in this Navi. It does not appear in Melachim Aleph. Shlomo Melech concludes the tefillah with the following words, and these words should sound familiar. We don't know them exactly like this, but they should sound familiar to you. Ve'ata kuma Hashem Elokim l'nuchecha, ata v'aron uzecha, kohanecha Hashem Elokim yilbishu teshua, v'chasidecha yismechu v'tov, Hashem Elokim al toshev pnei mishichecha, Zochra lechas de David avdecha. Now, probably as I'm reading the words, you're saying to yourself, some of those words sound familiar, but some of them don't. The reason is because there are very similar words in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Lamed Beis. Very similar, if you compare the two places, Divrei Hayomim Beis and Tehillim Kuf Lamed Beis, Perek Vav in Divrei Hayomim Beis. Here's Tehillim. This should sound very familiar. Kuma Hashem limnucha secha, Ata v'aron uzecha, kohanecha yilbishu tzedek, v'chasidecha yiranenu, v'avur David avdecha, al toshev p'nei mishichecha. This is very familiar to us, because these are the psukim that we say as we take back the Sefer Torah. Kuma Hashem l'muchasecha, ata v'aron, the aron, uzecha. Right? So these are very familiar words to us, very similar to the words in Divrei Hayomim that Shlomo concluded his tefillah with, and that's David HaMelech, when he composed Tehillim, composed it based on the similar words. Now, there's a fascinating Gemara in Shabbos, which we could have really mentioned earlier, but we're mentioning it now. It's a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph, also quoted by the art school here. The Gemara says that when Shlomo HaMelech, at the beginning of the Perek, wanted to bring the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, so he tried to bring it in, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the gates stayed sealed, and they would not open. Shlomo HaMelech davened. He davened 24 tefillos, Velo nene. He wasn't answered, says the Gemara. So he, what did he say? Su'u sha'arim roshechem, yinosu pischei olam, v'yavo melech ha'kovel. Right? That kapitel tilin. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said. So what happened? The gates tried to swallow him up. And the gates responded to him. Mihu ze melech ha'kovel. Who's this king of kovel that you're referring to? So Shlomo HaMelech responded to the gates. Hashem, izuz v'gibor. Hashem is the powerful one. Then he said again, etc. And then still, the gates wouldn't open. Says the Gemara, once he said, Hashem Elokim al toshe p'nei mishichecha, zochra l'chaste David avdecha, miyad nene. He had to mention the schus of David. Once he mentioned the schus of David, immediately he was answered and the gates opened. He was able to bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Gemara, at that moment, all of David's enemies were embarrassed. They all got red in the face because they all thought, oh, look, Hashem is building the Beis HaMikdash with Shlomo, not with David. That shows you that David's not such a great guy. He's not such a great guy. But what do you see? You see here, no, it's in the Schus of David. In the Schus of David. That's why Shlomo Melech is zochet to bring in the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's also, these psukim were part of this tefillah as well. Mentioning the schus of David, that this was the conclusion of Shlomo Melech's tefillah. Okay, we'll just go a few more minutes. It's not much left. I know it's a bunch of psukim, but it goes quickly till the end, just maybe five more minutes. We'll try to finish off the perek here. So pasuk, pasuk nun, what do we have to nun dalet? So Shlomo Melech Da, he finishes this entire davening, this entire tefillah. He gets up from kneeling on his knees. He was kneeling on his knees as he was saying this tefillah. He gets up. And his palms are spread out towards the heavens. The article quotes the Yerushalmi in Brachos in Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey. The Yerushalmi says, "Amar Rabbi Lazar bar Avina, kekapayim halolu shelo chotfu mibinyan beis hamikdash klum." Why did Shlomo Melech hold out his palms like this to show that just like my palms are empty, I didn't take a cent from all of the money, the gold, the silver, everything that was donated for the beis hamikdash. I didn't take a cent for myself. Everything was given to the beis hamikdash or to the treasury, right? And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu also did this kind of a thing. He said this also that he was clean. He didn't take anything for himself. That's why he raised his palms like this. Pasuk nun hey. Sorry, one second. Pasuk nun hey. Vayamud vayivarech es kol kahal Yisrael kol godol lemor. And he stood up and he projected to give all of Bnei Yisrael a bracha. But right before he gives Bnei Yisrael a bracha, he has to give, says the Metzudas David, he has to give Hashem a bracha. Pasuk nun vav. Baruch Hashem. Asher nasan menucha la'amu Yisrael. Baruch Hashem. Hashem gave menucha to Bnei Yisrael. Kechol asher diber. Like Hashem spoke, and all the Mefarshim say this is referring to the Pasuk in Devarim Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud, where Hashem says that when you cross the Yarden and you settle into Eretz Yisrael, V'heiniach lochem mikol oyveichav misaviv v'yishavtem betach. Hashem says, don't worry. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, I'll make it that it's peaceful, that the Goyim will leave you alone finally. And that's what happened, we know, in the times of Shlomo. So Shlomo wanted to give Hashem a bracha for that. V'nofal davar echad mikol devaro atov. Not one word from the great promises that Hashem gave, went in vain. Everything was fulfilled. Asher diber biyad Moshe Abdo, the promises that he said through Moshe his servant. Pasuk nun zayin dihi Hashem Elokeinu imanu kasher hoya im avosenu al yazenu vayitchenu. Hashem, your Hashem, our God, should be with us, just like He was with our avos. He shouldn't abandon us. He shouldn't leave us alone. For those of you who are still in shul, when we say v'yiten lecha, this is one of the psukim that we say, one of the psukim of bracha that we say in V'yitan Lecha. I saw the article quotes a maimer Yehi Hashem Imanu or something like that. Apparently it's a maimer of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I didn't have time to go through the whole thing. You can check it out. If you Google it, you'll find it. Pasuk nun ches, lahatos levavenu, a love that we should turn our hearts to Hashem, v'leches b'chol d'racha, v'lishmar mitzvosav, to follow His ways, to keep His mitzvos, v'chukav, of all the different types of statutes and mitzvos, Ashetziva es avoseinu, the mitzvos that He gave our fathers. And we know, as the art school says, sometimes we turn our hearts to Hashem because He's treating us well, and we know we owe Him. And sometimes we turn our hearts to Hashem because, you know, we have tzaros and we have no choice, and we cry out to Hashem. Shlomo Melech is davening for the former. Please, Hashem, let Bnei Yisrael turn their hearts to You, not out of tzara. Let them turn their hearts to you. Out of a bounty of goodness, Hakaras HaTov, when we recognize we have so much good, and we recognize that it all comes from Hashem, and we have to turn to Him to thank Him. Pasuk nun tes, v'yu devarai ila asher ischananti lifnei Hashem, kerovim el Hashem Elokeinu yomam v'layla. All these words that I pleaded with Hashem should be close to Hashem, day and night, la'asos mishpat avdu mishpat amo Yisrael devar yom v'yomo, to do what I deserve, what Bnei Yisrael deserves each and every day. If this sounds familiar to you, it should. Because these are the psukim that we say at the end of Hoshanos. Every day of Sukkot, when we say Hoshanos, these two psukim, Nuntes and Samach, appear at the end. L'mandas kol ami ha'aretz ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od. So that all the nations of the world, not just Bnei Yisrael, but all the nations of the world will know that Hashem is the only true God. Samach Aleph, v'hayol levavchem sholim im Hashem Elokeinu. And your hearts, says Shlomo HaMelech to Bnei Yisrael, should be full, should be complete, when they follow Hashem, your God, Olechas b'chukav v'lishmo mitzvosav kayom hazeh, to follow Hashem in all of His ways, v'hamelech v'chol Yisrael imo zovchim zevach lifnei Hashem. And, excuse me, Shlomo HaMelech and all of the Jewish people are bringing karbonos to Hashem. Here too, in Divrei Hayomim, there are extra psukim, not extra, but there are additional psukim here that give a little bit of introduction to this pasuk. And this is Divrei Yom Beis Perek Zayin, psukim Aleph through Dal. We're not going to read them inside, but the psukim say that when Shlomo finished davening, a fire, a miraculous fire, descended from Shamayim and consumed all of the karbonos that he had brought, and a cloud that represented the cover of the Shechina filled up the bayis, filled up the Beis HaMikdash. We read about this cloud already in the beginning of Perek Ches, Sukim Yud and Yud Aleph. We read about this cloud filling up the Beis HaMikdash to the point that the Kohanim could not even go in because it was so full of the cover of the Shechina of Hashem. And that's what happened. As a result of that miraculous fire coming down, Shlomo and Bnei Yisrael bring additional korbanos. As we read about in Pasuk Samech Gimel, Vayizbach Shlomo Ezevach HaShlomo Mashezevach LaHashem, Bokar Esim Ushnayim Elef, 22,000 cows. Wow. An enormous number of korbanos. Vitzon Meya Ve'esrim Elef, and 120,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. Vayachnuch Esbeis HaShem HaMelech V'chol Bnei Yisrael. And that's how they did a Chanukah Sabayis. The Shlomo and all of Bnei Yisrael, the art scroll makes an unbelievable ha'ara here. When you want to make a Chanukah Sabayis for the Beis HaMikdash, it's not just with ceremonies. It's not just with speeches. It's with avoda. The avoda of the Beis HaMikdash is what's mechanech the Beis HaMikdash. So too, when we think about people make a Chanukah Sabayis for a shul or for a yeshiva, it's nice to have a party, right? But a yeshiva, what should be a Chanukah Sabayis of a yeshiva? You sit and learn. What should be a Chanukah Sabayis of a shul? You daven, you learn. That should be the true Chanukah Sabayis. Yeah, you can have speeches also, you could have a party, you could have some good food, pastries, fine. But the real Chanukah Sabayis has to be what the essence of the makom is all about. Beis HaMikdash was about avoda, yeshivas, shuls, about tefillah and Torah. Samech dalet b'yom ahu kidash ha-melech estocha chotzer asher lifnei beis Hashem ki osa shomes ha-olo v'yes ha-mincha v'yes chel v'yashlomim ki mizbach ha-nechoshes asher lifnei Hashem koton me-hachiles ha-olo v'yes ha-mincha v'yes chel v'yashlomim. Rashi here quotes machlokes from the Gemara in, I think, Zvachim u'Menachos, I don't remember offhand. But Rashi says there's a machlokes. What does this mean that the Mizbach HaNechoshes was too small? So one opinion says that Moshe's Mizbeach was too small, and therefore Shlomo Melech had to bring he had to build an additional Mizbeach in the Chatzer to be able to accommodate all of these Karbonos. There's another opinion that says that even Shlomo's Mizbeach was too small, and Shlomo Melech actually had to sanctify the Chatzer itself, and he burned the Karbonos. Usually the Karbonos are only burned on the Mizbeach. He burned the karbanos on the floor of the chatzer because there were so many karbanos that the pasha needed extra space. So he was mekadesh the chatzer of the mizbeach the chatzer of the Beis HaMikdash in a temporary fashion to be able to accommodate all of these karbanos. Pasuk samechei vayah shlomo ba'isahi esechag v'chol Yisrael imo kahol gadol milavo chamos adnacha mitzrayim lifnei Hashem Elokeinu shivas yomim v'shivas yomim arba osar yom. So Rashi here explains that there were 7 days of the inauguration, and it's called Chag. Chag here does not refer to Sukkot; it refers to the inauguration. The Radak says it refers to the inauguration as the Chag because the inauguration was right before Sukkot. The 7 days before Sukkot, those were the days of the inauguration, followed by the 7 days of Sukkot. So 7 days of a party of inauguration, 7 days of Sukkot. They came from the north and the south of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody came. What's fascinating here? Fascinating. I remember hearing this from Rabbi Rosner. 7 days before Sukkot, what day is within the 7 days before Sukkot? Sukkot starts on Tesvav Tishrei. What's within the 7 days of that? Yom Kippur, Yud Tishrei, Yom Kippur. That means that on Yom Kippur, they ate that year. They did not fast on Yom Kippur, right? They brought karbanos on Yom Kippur and they ate the karbanos on Yom Kippur. It was such a simcha. The Chanukah Sabayis of the Beis HaMikdash was such a simcha that it was Doche Yom Kippur. Wild. Unbelievable. Pasuk Samech Vav, Vayom Hashmini, Shilach Es Ha'om, Vayivarchu Es HaMelech. On the eighth day, and the Radak explains here, this refers to the eighth day of Sukkot, which is Shmini Atzeres. And by the way, this is why this is the Haftorah of Shmini Atzeres. This concludes the Haftorah of Shmini Atzeres. This is because this Pasuk refers to Shmini Atzeres. Shilach Es Ha'om, Shlomo HaMelech dismissed all of the people that had come for the Chanukah Sabayis. He dismissed them, go back home. Vayivarchu es HaMelech, they turned to give a bracha to the king. Vayelchu lo'ohaleihim semeichim v'tovei leiv. They returned to their homes, happy, full of joy. Now, all the Mefarshim here point out the fact that they could not have returned on Shmini Atzeres because he can't travel on Shmini Atzeres. So he dismissed them on Shmini Atzeres, but they stuck around for an extra day and they left on Isru Chag, the day after Yontif. That's when they left. Asher asa Hashem le David Abdol Yisrael. All the great things that Hashem did for David and for Bnei Yisrael, they took leave of Shlomo on Shmini Atzeres. This concludes the tremendous inauguration of the Chanukah Savayis of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. I'll unmute everyone. I can't unmute everyone. I thought I could. Okay. I don't remember how to unmute everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay.
How do they buy a Pesach kippah? That's their rice.
It's a good question. I'm not sure the answer to that question. I have to look. I didn't see it when I was preparing this. And I just remember hearing it from Rabbi Rosner. And then you do the math. You know, it's Yom Kippur's within the 7 days. I have to look and see where exactly it comes from. Mirtz Hashem. I'll try to remember next week to fill in that little piece of information. Okay? Thank you for joining, everyone. Thank you for joining on the Zoom. Thank you, Moish. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Moish. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Marvin. Thank you, Naomi. Thank you, Herb. And thank you, an anonymous phone number. I don't know who it is. I can't see. But have a wonderful night. And greetings, salutations from Camp Kaylee. Be well. We'll see everybody Tisha B'Av in person. Mirtz Hashem. Unless we have the Gula before then. Hopefully we'll have the Gula before then. Then we can all go to Yerushalayim. Good night, everyone.
Good night.